Well, I suppose that from the readings you've had, you've probably gathered what I'm hoping to be talking about, which is about anxiousness. Why do we worry? Why do we get anxious? But it's going to be two talks. I'm going to introduce the whole theme today, and then in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to complete it by looking at one verse in particular, which in the New King James Version says, "Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you." But today I'm going to concentrate on why do we get anxious and how do we deal with it. I have one of these papers here. The light above me is shining on the, and I can't see my print. It's all right. So, what is anxiousness? How do we define it? Apparently, it is a state of feeling worried, anxious, or uneasy about certain situations that we have no control over. I think that's a pretty good definition. I'll say it again. It's a state of feeling worried, anxious or worried, or uneasy, sorry, about certain situations that we have no control over. It is often accompanied by fear, over-concern, or even over-excitement. What makes you anxious may not make other people anxious, but whatever the source, the solution is the same. Because if we leave anxiousness unchecked in our lives, it will sap our energy and zest for life, and it will choke our faith and hope in God. So we need to address it. So let's be clear. Everyone worries. Everyone in this room, including me, worries about something at some time or other. We all have worries. It's a human problem. Every generation experiences it, whether it's family or friends' health, whether it's war issues, climate change, whether it's council or community issues, whether it's TV and social media. All of these things can escalate our anxiousness and worries. Does God really care for us? Will he really step in if I need help? Is he interested in me? Consequently, in our world, and certainly on TV, there's a huge rise in ways to try and address the issue of anxiousness and worry. They include all sorts of mental and health programs to help people, well-being programs. They even introduce eating well, keeping fit. They introduce, sadly, yoga and martial arts, even introduce drugs. But all these things is man's way to try and deal with anxiousness. But sadly, it doesn't cure it. It just suppresses it, keeps it at bay. I believe anxiousness is a spiritual problem. You and I are never meant to go through life trying to manage it on our own. And anxiousness and worry is an indicator of you coming across situations that you can't manage and you can't cope with. So you get worried. But God wants to let us know. In fact, many times, and we heard it from what Jesus had said, that why are you anxious? Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He'll either give you what you need or show you what to do. He's on hand to help you, lead you, steer you, guide you. I can relate to lots and lots of instances in my own life where, through circumstances or illnesses and things, some of which you've already heard, I found myself saying, God, I can't do this. I feel stuck and trapped. I don't know where to turn or what to do. Please speak to me. Show me. And then the phone rings or someone comes to the door or a scripture comes to mind that I've read recently. And that very instance, somehow God is guiding me and speaking to me and addressing my anxiousness. I remember just recently working on doing some talks for LBC. We're looking at a program of doing podcasts, just to keep up with the Joneses, you know, in this world. And the podcast is going to be an extension of the Alpha Talks. I presume you're all familiar with the Alpha Talks? Ish. Okay. There's 15 talks, and the Alpha, this is worldwide known. And it's to help people understand what it means to be a Christian. But we're looking at 15 talks that will encourage people to go deeper in their faith and their walk. It's a discipleship program. So we're going to be looking at themes. Instead of why and how do we pray, we'll be looking at how do we pray more effectively. So we're going to be looking at doing that. So I was thinking, this sounds really great. And then Aaron said, will you do it to me? And I thought, He said, well, it's on your heart. You're concerned about these things. It's something that's dear and precious to you, so will you do it? Now, I didn't quite behave like that when I was with him. I smiled through gritted teeth and said, Aaron, I said, I am willing, I said, but I haven't got a clue about podcasts and technology and all that sort of thing. So he said to me, he said, well, why don't you pray about it? Of course. But it doesn't always come to mind, because I thought, I've got to try and cope on this on my own now and struggle and get through this. So I did. I went away and I prayed. And I felt the Lord say to me, he said, you know that person in your congregation that you've always wanted to get alongside and he always values your presence into when you get together and how he really feels blessed and encouraged? I said, yes. I said, well, go and have a chat with him. That's all I heard. And I thought, well, what on earth's that got to do with my situation? So I went and had a chat with him. And I just happened to share my concern. He said, oh, I can help you with all of that. He said, in fact, I've been praying. He said, how can I use my skills for the kingdom of God? How can I use this? Skills to do podcasts, skills to do all these audio talks. And so I looked at him and went, well, you're an answer to prayer. Thank you. So we're working on it now. We're starting to do them now. And I'm thrilled that what would have made me absolutely anxious and worried is now turning into a joy. But that's just one of many examples where God loves to step in. But we all will face situations that are hard and tough. But we have to learn to pray first, not last. We're all very good at praying, I think, but usually at the end of the day or when we get desperate. But God wants us to learn that he is available and makes himself available to answer our prayers at any time during the day. So I'm really glad that I prayed, and so I'm really enjoying starting to do this. I'm not thinking too far ahead because there's a lot to do. I'm just concentrating on what I need to do each week. And that helps. So my prayer, my anxiousness has been resolved in this matter. So let's look a little bit more about what Jesus said. He said, don't worry about your life, the things that you eat or drink or where. The basics, basically. Because unbelievers, or often called Gentiles, unbelievers worry about these things. Why? Because they haven't got a God that cares for them. You have. But we can live as though we're Gentiles if we're not careful. We can live as though we haven't got a God because we're struggling to try and cope on our own. But Jesus said to his disciples, no, don't live like that. Your heavenly Father knows your needs. Just learn to turn to him. Turn your situations into prayer. Ask for his help or guidance. Let him sort it out. And boy, are we learning to do that. And boy, God is answering. Far more than we ever thought he would. So why do we worry? Why do we get anxious as Christians? Is it because we don't really believe that God cares for us that much? Jesus actually said to the disciples, if only you knew how much your heavenly Father loved you, you wouldn't have to worry about a thing. So perhaps the reason why we worry is because, I don't know the Lord very well. I don't know his word, his scriptures very well. I don't know his power very well, the power of the Holy Spirit. So no wonder we worry. But that should not be a hallmark of the Christian life. Worry shouldn't be. It often is. But let it be a sign to you to say, right, I need to pray. Don't let worry grip you and get hold of you. The scripture in 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to 7 tells us, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. In other words, Jesus is saying to them, if you're serious about following me, your heavenly Father has got you covered. He'll look out for you. He'll watch over you. And he'll either provide for you miraculously, or he'll give you the strength to endure whatever it is, or he'll tell you or show you what to do or say. I think our biggest problem today as Christians is that we don't really know the scriptures well enough, and we don't know just how much our Heavenly Father loves us. The last reading we had, just which was from Philippians, Paul gives us some practical advice. He says, don't be anxious about anything. But Paul, you see, if you were in my shoes, Paul, you'd be justified. You'd know just how to be anxious and worried because I've got this, this, and this, and there's always that, and then I don't have time for this, and then there's that, and that, and that. Listen, Paul knew a lot more than what you and I do, and he went through a heck of a lot more things that you and I will never go through. He knows exactly what he's talking about. And he says, look, don't worry about anything. Honestly, you don't need to. Learn to turn your concerns and cares into prayers. Learn to trust that God loves you, even though you may not feel it. And do it with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that you've got a solution to this. I haven't got the foggiest what it is, like I shared earlier. And all I got was a simple word saying, go and speak to James. Learn to trust when you do commit things in prayer to the thoughts you get. Lord, are these yours? I'm going to act on them. If I've got it wrong, correct me. But learn to live like that. Paul was saying, look, the Lord is at hand to help you and I to live the Christian life. Don't live it as though God's left it all up to you. It makes a nonsense of Jesus paying the price of your sin and then to rise again and to give you and I the Holy Spirit. We need him. We need his inspiration. We need his help. In fact, he is the source of our Christian life. Not your wisdom, not your efforts, but his. I'll talk more about this in 2 weeks when the Lord tells us to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. We're very good at the first part, but not the second part. But we'll have a look at that in 2 weeks' time. Paul says, look, whatever is noble, whatever is good, whatever is wise, think of these things. Stop preoccupying your thoughts with worries, with fears. Commit them to the Lord and leave them there. Train your mind to think on things that are pure and lovely and great, things about God, who he is, what he says. Reprogram your mind, if you like. Meditate, he says, on these things. Looking at your faces, you'll probably say, Mike, meditation is just not, it's an Eastern philosophy. It's nothing to do with living today. And I want to say to you this morning, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. It's just that you're meditating on the wrong things. You're meditating on the things that depress you. You're meditating on things that just have no hope in them. Worries, cares, all these things will sap your energy and it will challenge your faith. So Paul is saying, well, don't stop thinking about these things. Commit them to the Lord and then go through the day trusting in his goodness and mercy to lead you, to follow you. Sounds ever so simple, doesn't it? So much so that a child could do it. But of course, we're adults and we know just how to put God in a box. Folks, the freedom and the life that God has planned for us knows no bounds. God wants us to learn to live in a freedom because we've learned to cast our cares and worries on him, and we've learned to live trusting in his goodness and mercy. So Paul says, live like that. He said, you've seen my life, what I do, how I live, the troubles I've had. But he sailed through all these things. He sailed through them. I mean, he literally did go sailing, but got shipwrecked many times. He was stoned, he was persecuted, he was battered, all sorts of things. But he rejoiced. How can you do that unless you know God? Unless you know him well, that he really does love me. He really does. Because once you do, and that grows, you'll be meditating on the right things. Your faith will be focused on how good and how great God is. You'll want to stand up and sing in church, blow what anyone else thinks. You'll start probably daring to do some mad things for God, like Aaron did. And he shared a few things with you all, no doubt. So we do have a good God. And Paul's life was a pure example of it. And so was Jesus's. So to sum up, if we knew how much God the Father loves us, we would not need to worry about anything. The fact that we still do shows that we don't know him very well yet. So instead of struggling and striving to manage life on your own, have the humility to share with others your struggles, and also tell God, be honest with him, learn to cast your cares on him and expect him to answer you somehow. Because if you do, his peace will fill your hearts and minds. It is beyond understanding, folks, but it will. God has promised if we put him first and honour his word, he will give us his peace. That's how we can know for sure. So don't let anxiousness sap your energy or zest for life. Get acquainted with your God, with the one who saved you and loved you. Job chapter 22, verse 21 and 22 says this: "Now get acquainted with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your hearts." And finally, Psalm 16, verse 8. And perhaps this is something that we could make a prayer. It says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Folks, we have a good God. Let us show the world how good he is by learning to cast our cares on him and trust him to lead and guide us and help us through life. Amen. 2 weeks' time, I'll come back and explain, Lord willing, what seeking his kingdom is all about and what seeking his righteousness is all about. But that would be the extension of this talk. Thank you and bless you.